I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock. A safe space for the independent thinkers out there beholden to no party, no politician. Plenty to get to today. I may get some Tech Tuesday stuff in my little red-headed stepchild of a segment, but, you know, I got to tell you, I just keep reading more and more stuff about electric cars, about this push towards the green economy. Got clips of Joe Biden selling his Build Back Better thing. Look, I want to know why, and I guess to keep it kind of local here to us here in Mississippi, why is it that Michael Guest, Roger Wicker, Cindy Hyde-Smith, and I've made this comment about Donald Trump, too, as of last year. Why are none of these people calling out this Build Back Better motto, which is around the world? It is quite obviously part of this great reset globalist idea of pushing us towards this carbon neutral world that they will control. Why is nobody talking about that? It's extremely easy to see. Boris Johnson in the UK, you know, that conservative leader of England, Build Back Better. Justin Trudeau in Canada, Build Back Better. The Australians, Build Back Better. Angela Merkel, Build Back Better. The World Economic Forum, Build Back Better. Everybody's saying the exact same words with the exact same intention. And we don't have any Republicans here that are supposed to be against this cabal, all the way from Trump down to Michael Guest, and none of them even mentioned him. It's this weird thing, like so many things in the world right now, where things are just said, and I'm looking around going, is anybody noticing this? And I do not believe for a second that our politicians have just never really noticed. When they've got Build Back Better written across the podiums of people across the world in this financial elite, I find it hard to believe that Roger Wicker had noticed that. So they talk about the infrastructure bills in just pure partisan terms where, well, we're not going to spend that kind of money. That's ridiculous. A lot of this isn't even really infrastructure, but they don't name exactly what this policy is all about. Anyway, I just ran across more news on electric cars in particular. I'm probably going to get to that next hour. But before we do that, we've got plenty of news to cover here, particularly in the world of COVID. And I feel like almost every single day on these shows, I think, you know, do I want to cover this stuff again? I've been talking about my weariness of reporting on coronavirus probably since last October. But we keep getting new things out, whether they're statistics or just, you know, the trend things are heading in. And by God, I am determined that people are going to get a glimpse of what our future is so they can decide now whether or not to get motivated and involved and get out in front of this thing or not. So we've got plenty on that today, too. My quotes of the day today. I like this one. This is from Michael Crichton. He says, scientists fall in line with the dominant power structure. They have to, because the power structure pays the bills. You don't play with the power structure, you don't get your money. You don't get an appointment. You don't get published. In short, you don't count anymore. You're out. You may as well be dead. And that's what we're seeing in our medical establishment right now, in our scientific community. I guess I should air quote that's here in the studio. But that's what this is all about. You wonder how so many scientists and doctors and the AMA, and it just doesn't matter, across the spectrum, we're seeing so many people pushing so much bad information and dangerous stuff to the American people. Well, you have to understand they're all funded by the people running this stuff. And if they cease to play the game, they get cut off. It takes a very, very brave soul to actually do that. Another quote of the day. I love this one because this is going to get us into stuff too today on Afghanistan. Spike Cohen, he actually ran as the vice president on the Libertarian ticket in 2020. He said, taxes are the price you pay to fund the things you protest against. Taxes are the price you pay to fund the things you protest against. That certainly is true. Well, they tell us that taxes are the price you pay for a civilized society. I believe this is actually engraved on the side of the IRS building because the propaganda has to even be labeled on the building. But taxes are the price you pay to fund the things you protest against. That's exactly right. And we're certainly going to talk about some taxpayer dollars today. And then this quote here, I had to clean it up a tiny bit. For those of you familiar with this quote, you might notice I've got two edited words in here because FCC wouldn't allow it. But it's George Carlin. And he says this, George Carlin says, quote, I have certain rules I live by. My first rule, I don't believe anything the government tells me. Sooner or later, the people in this country are going to realize the government does not give a crap about them. The government doesn't care about you or your children or your rights or your welfare or your safety. It simply doesn't give a crap about you. It's interested in its own power. That's the only thing keeping it and expanding it wherever possible. George Carlin, I've gotten into a conversation with a listener a while back, I think on an email exchange, and we were talking, and I got to tell you, I would love to see George Carlin be able to narrate the past year, just exactly what kind of insanity he would have seen with this, but he is no longer with us. This was a story out yesterday on the AP. Tonight is the Madison County School Board meeting at 5 o'clock. It is on Highland Colony. I tell you what, let me pull up exactly where the address of this thing is. If you do actually want to go out and just be seen, let people know, I believe, and we'll continue to say, this mask mandate on our children is incredibly damaging to them physically, emotionally, and mentally. Children are sitting in classes right now suffering this abuse. It's time parents get exercised about that. I'm going to be there. I don't have any children left in the Madison County School District, although they attended 12 years there. As I said before, I just didn't understand that the whole district was run by functionally retarded people, but apparently they are as they continue to impose mask mandates. 476 Highland Colony Parkway in Ridgeland. That's 476 Highland Colony Parkway in Ridgeland. 5 o'clock tonight. And this will be a chance for people just to show up and let them know you want your children out of these masks. I don't anticipate. I believe what they'll probably hide behind is the idea of, well, this is just temporary. It just befuddles one to think about the fact that parents will sit down and take another, it's just temporary. Mask on your children at this point are about as temporary as removing us from the gold standard temporarily in 1971, where we remain now. About as temporary as our involvement in Afghanistan. About as temporary as every other government program out there. It's time to get our kids out of these masks. And here is a story from the AP that I believe probably has something to do with the mask mandates for our children. This is AP yesterday. Pediatricians and public health officials say a common respiratory disease that most children can easily deal with is spreading earlier than usual in Wisconsin. And this is not just Wisconsin. I talked to a doctor down on the coast last weekend. He told me they're seeing a ton of this stuff. The disease called respiratory syncytial virus, or RSV, is common in kids under age 2 and usually results in mild symptoms, but it can become severe in infants and older adults. The symptoms, and let's see. University of Wisconsin health pediatrician Greg Demure told the Wisconsin Public Radio that some children are getting both illnesses at once. Talking about COVID-19 and RSV, which can extend recovery time and make it hard to diagnose what's wrong. We don't know if that is worse than just COVID alone or just RSV alone. And this is just another consequence of taking our kids. So here has been the recipe for the past 16 months from our health overlords. Keep kids at home for a year in a hyper-sanitary bubble. Make sure their immune system is spared any indignity, wiping down all surfaces, keeping them away from other kids, keeping them out of the soil. Keep them in a bubble for a year to where their immune system gets lazy. Then stick them in a face mask that traps all kinds of nasty stuff and tell them to suck that in for 8 hours a day. Some people still have their children. I see them in parking lots of grocery stores, walking through the parking lot. Children got the filthy mask on, every single one of them that I see. I don't know if I've ever seen a child in an N95 mask. And I doubt there's a single person anybody knows out there who has put their child in an N95 mask that they change several times during the day, never, ever, ever using the same mask twice. Never, ever, ever touching this thing. I mean, this has just gone absolutely sideways. And thinking parents should be able to see this, but you begin to question how many thinking parents we actually have. Again, the Madison County School Board meeting is tonight, 5 o'clock, 476. Am I saying that right? Let me pull it back up, make sure I'm not getting it wrong. 476 Highland Colony Parkway, 5 o'clock tonight. It's time to start making your voice heard. You can also, if you can't do that, I believe, I don't have it pulled up in front of me right now, but I believe I went to the Madison County School Board website last week and saw that there are actually phone numbers. Look like personal phone numbers. These are people that, you know, they're not living in the armored redoubts of the elites. These are our neighbors and people, and they still may be well-intentioned. I don't know. I don't know who strips parents of rights, dictating the medical approaches to their children's health, and still is well-intentioned. But, you know, they say the tyranny of the do-gooder is the most dangerous because they sleep well at night thinking they're doing the right thing. But you can reach out to these people by their phone number on the Madison County School Board and any other school board as well. So if you can't show up to something, the very least thing you should be doing for your child, for your grandchild, for your niece, for your nephew, for the neighbor kid who cuts your yard if you want to, you should be calling these people, taking 5 minutes out of your life away from Facebook and Instagram and Netflix, and making a singular phone call to somebody at these Madison County School Board meetings and very nicely explaining to them that we have know by now that these masks do not work. There are dangers. I can send you the link to the Vanity Fair article from last week. I mean, when Vanity Fair comes out and talks about the dangers of masking our children, it's become as apparent as possible. Excuse me, maybe it was the Atlantic. It was one of the two. I can't remember. It was certainly a liberal establishment, elite publication. It wasn't Breitbart. And so when they can see it, then the school board should certainly see it. But anyway, you can call your school board members as well and encourage your friends and your family. There are other people. I know that parents get together. I have been a parent of children in these schools, and the parents talk. So if you've got friends that are also sick of your children being forced into these masks, and I know I share your sadness in the fact that probably a lot of the parents seem to be okay with this because they believe the air quotes here in the studio, the science. But they're not paying attention. They're not reading the stuff that you and I read. They're not listening to the show, or they just miss it as anti-science. But to those parents out there that have been grumbling about these face masks, reach out to them and say, hey, can you make a quick call? Can you show up at the school board meeting? Can you just take 5 minutes to try to stop the serial, ritualistic abuse of our children for 8 hours every single school day? Reach out to them, call them, or show up tonight at 5 o'clock. One of the reasons I get so kind of fired up about, you know, the debt in this country and the way they're just destroying us financially is that I most everybody listening to me had that American childhood. And it really was great. I mean, if you were born a child in the United States and really about the last, certainly the last 70 to 80 years, I mean, you really just had probably about as good a childhood as you could have. We had the creature comforts. We had good family units. You know, it was just, there wasn't famine. There wasn't war. There wasn't all the things that happen in other countries. There was a relatively stable political system, but it's just a, you know, my whole childhood spent, you know, the biggest thing I had was I got in trouble because I didn't come home in time. You know, you stay out and all of a sudden you realize it's dark and you have the long bike ride home thinking, oh my God, I'm going to be in so much trouble. Of course, we didn't helicopter parent either. My parents, pretty much, I was out the door at about 6:30 in the morning for swim team practice. As long as I was home by 7 p.m., my parents were pretty cool about everything else. They didn't really, you know, we were fine. But when I look at what's happening to us financially, I just think, you know, I've wanted my children to have the opportunities that we have when they get older. Now my children are 20, and I'm worried about them because they're going to be pursuing careers. They're going to need to be raising a family in this economy, and it gets me really fired up. But we are allowing actions to take place. It hasn't happened yet. Certainly a lot of kids are enjoying high school football right now and playing soccer and doing their things, but we are allowing things to happen that are just really altering that experience of childhood here in the United States. And the masks is one of those things. The next thing is going to be these shots. And if you're somebody who's like me, and you do believe that you should be passing on that quality of life that you had as a child or the opportunities you had when you started a career or as you grew older, not everybody's had it easy. The economy has not been easy for a long time. We've got things like inflation and housing prices, and college has gotten more expensive. We've allowed a lot of things to get out of control already, but it's still, you know, the wheels are still kind of on the bus, but barely. They're hanging on. But if you want your children to enjoy the American way of life and the freedom, you better start making it happen. I'm talking about making it happen. I'm going to play this clip here because this is what is coming. This is, first you're going to hear from Tedros, he's the head of the WHO, because this idea of Madison County Schools saying, oh, we're just masking them for 2 weeks, that's all it is. Got a little bit of a spike here, so you can see what it is. We'll ease into the school year 2 weeks and we'll be done. And you fell for that. Now they're talking about these shots for our kids, a shot that is unproven in children. We have no idea what it does to a young girl's reproductive system. Maybe nothing. But we don't know. I would think a lot of parents would really kind of like to know if they're going to cause long-term health effects to their daughter's reproductive system. But if you do not get out ahead of this thing now, this is what these people who are running the show, make no doubt about it. As I said, I started the show talking about Build Back Better is everywhere. And it's during the Biden administration, he's the one touting this thing, but Trump never called it out. Roger Wicker's not going to call it out. Cindy Hyde-Smith's not going to call it out. Michael Guest isn't going to call it out. So these things are just being rolled out on us, and it is along the terms of, you know, the Great Reset, all of this stuff that is, it's right out in public. Go to, what is it, WEF.org or WEFonline.org or whatever, the World Economic Forum. Go look at their thing. They talk about the Great Reset. This is not a secret. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's their stated plans. But maybe you just don't feel like getting out to the Madison County School Board thing because you got to get dinner ready and there's a good show tonight and Johnny's got to get soccer practice. But if you can't make a phone call to these people, I'll just show you. This is Tedros from the WHO and this is Klaus Schwab from the World Economic Forum. And this is what they have to say about your future. But most of us don't care very much about our future, or we would have stopped a lot of this stuff in its tracks a long time ago. But think about the world that our children are about to inherit if these people get their way.
I want to be straight with you. There will be no return to the old normal for the foreseeable future. I repeat, there will be no return to the old normal for the foreseeable future.
So people assume we are just going back to the good old world, which we had. And everything will be normal again in how we are used to normal, in the old fashion. This is, let's say, fiction. It will not happen.
A vaccine on its own will not end the pandemic.
There is, you're not going back to the way things were. How many people out there think, well, if everybody just gets vaccinated, then we can go back to the old normal? Did you just hear the guy with AWHO? Said the vaccine's not going to end this pandemic. I talked about it yesterday when I played just the amazing clip. Terrible for radio because it's pretty much a visual thing, but it was the Wisconsin-Penn State game where the stadium was packed. And they started playing jump around, and the whole stand is just undulating, just jumping and dancing. The sideline reporters are dancing. The players are dancing. They took back normal for a few hours that day. There were no masks. They were shoulder to shoulder. They were yelling and screaming, doing everything to violate every COVID protocol because there was no pandemic in that stadium. They just said no. They took back their lives. I'm gonna play this clip one more time. Because you are going to wake up in a world, we're already in a world that I don't recognize. I can't believe my fellow citizens are so easily frightened. With everything we know right now about COVID and its survivability and who is the most vulnerable, I'm stunned by people that I know and respect even, how scared they have become of this thing. But there is no coming back to normal unless you make it normal, unless you demand it. And the school board's like the lowest, it's the easiest fruit to pick. It is a local group of your neighbors running these school boards, making decisions for your kids. It gets a little bit more difficult when you get to the state level. If you want to go to the State Department of Education or to the State Medical Association or the State Department of Health, it gets a little bit more difficult. But from everybody within sound of my voice, you're like 40 minutes away at the most from those places. You better start taking this freedom back because they're not going to give it to you. Again, this is the WHO guy, Tedros, and the World Economic Forum guy, Klaus Schwab. And at the very end, Tedros says, vaccines aren't going to do it. Don't be thinking for a second that if you take your vaccines, then you're going to get all your freedom back and everything's going to go back to normal. That was the promise here in the United States, although Fauci knew that that was never actually the plan. More on that in just a minute.
I want to be straight with you. There will be no return to the old normal for the foreseeable future. I repeat, there will be no return to the old normal for the foreseeable future.
So people assume we are just going back to the good old world, which we had, and everything will be normal again in how we are used to normal, in the old fashion. This is, let's say, fiction. It will not happen.
A vaccine on its own will not end the pandemic.
So there you go. So sit back, enjoy your Netflix. Your children are going to wake up in a world that none of us will recognize and shouldn't recognize, particularly as Americans. It's bad enough what's going on in other countries. I'm going to show you too. I continue to find things out of Australia that are just mind-boggling. But these are the kinds of things that are headed your way, too, if you do not begin to reclaim your normal, to reclaim the childhood that I had, the going about society as regular people, just normal. What's happening in Australia will happen here. It will. The more they see people sit back and accept things, the further they push. This is always the way with government. You know, the income tax started in, I think, 1914. It's just a really teeny tiny tax on just the super wealthy. So most Americans just went, doesn't affect me. And then World War II comes around and they say, we got to pay for the war. And they started ganking a bunch out of people's paychecks. And people went, well, there is a war we got to pay for. I'm ready to chip in to fight this Nazi onslaught. And then after World War II, they said, huh, look at that. The people are, they're just letting us take money out of their checks. I didn't see that coming. Well, we'll just keep doing it. And it got to the point where even the most conservative among you, those out there who talk about the Constitution and limited government, you cheer when a Republican politician comes out and says, we're not going to take 28% from you. We're only going to take 24%. And you cheer and cheer and cheer. See, they will continue to push to find out exactly where that line is. And what they do is they push and they get a little bit of pushback from the people. So they take a couple of steps back and they just kind of wait for you to get back on the couch. And as soon as you get back on the couch, they push a little bit more. Maybe a little bit more. They take five more steps forward and then you push back a little bit. They take one step back. Then when you get back on the couch, new season of The Bachelor out. I can't be bothered now. They take another five steps forward. And this is happening in real time. We'll be right back. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Phone number here, 601-879-0002, or my email is mikemadison@wyab.com. I've started having some conversations with some of my more COVID hysterical friends, just asking them questions, and it seems to be somewhat effective. You know, the funny thing is, it's kind of like doing this show. I can talk to a lot of kind of would have been mainstream Republicans or conservatives, Trump supporters over the last year, and point out flaws in what I think Trump did or in foreign policy and Trump hiring Mike Pompeo. More about him in a minute. And I think people will be accepting of that. And I've had some people tell me, your show does make me think about things. I don't know, though, as soon as they get around their buddies, you know, you don't dare speak what I speak unless you really understand it. I mean, so I never know how much someone really takes to heart and how much they're really just humoring me or, you know, willing to have a conversation. Because I never come at anybody who disagrees with me. I don't care if it's on vaccines or COVID or politics or anything. I don't ever come at them with anger. I think never. I used to. Oh, I used to love to get into a good shouting match. I used to love to shout out my Republican talking points that I heard Trent Lott tell me on Fox News Sunday back in the 1990s. Oh, I was good at that. I was quite the parrot. And then I started thinking. So, you know, the thinking part, it's pretty tough to get into a debate with somebody with something you just heard once, but you never really thought about it. You never really researched it. You never really embraced it. But when it comes to our kids, man, isn't there just an instinct in us that says we want to give our kids the same experience that we were blessed with here in the United States? Probably more so the older you are. I grew up in the 70s and 80s. It was just a fantastic life. I didn't care about the 1970s inflation, really. It didn't really affect me. I wasn't working then, so I didn't really know it. My parents just made sure I had this middle-class American life. It was great. It just seems like there should be an instinct with us to say, we're going to protect that way of life for our children. But we're not doing it, actually. We have allowed them to have their lives stripped, I mean, a year of their life. When you're talking about a 10-year-old, you've taken 10% of their life away already at a pivotal time in their life where they're developing emotional and physical milestones. We just allowed it to be ripped from them for no real reason. Hysterical teachers, hysterical health authorities, we just stood down. I understood it for about the first 2 months because we didn't know what we were dealing with. But by June, July of last year, we knew exactly what we were dealing with. And we still allowed it to happen all last school year. It's very strange to me. Very, very strange. This is what's going on in Australia. I don't know if it's fair to point to this Australian thing, but maybe it's just I share this with you so that I'm not the only person watching what's taking place in this formerly great country of Australia. These are our brothers and sisters. And maybe it's because they allowed them to take their guns. At least we haven't allowed that yet, but it's coming. It's coming. You keep letting them. I'm telling you, they take five steps forward. We push them back one step. They just wait. They bide their time. Wait till you get comfortable. Send you a few checks, and they take five more steps forward. This is what's going on in Australia now when it comes to these jabs.
About one day learning to live with this virus. So I'm wondering, at what point does the pandemic end and COVID-19 becomes endemic?
I think that's the reality that most of the world has been confronting. What we're really pleased to say is we've got great vaccines. And I think I've indicated before that, you know, we will be...
I mean, Israel. Israel will tell you, they're great vaccines. As long as you take them every week.
Getting vaccinated regularly. There will be new strains that emerge potentially, and we'll have boosters, a bit like seasonal flu. So every year in seasonal flu, they try and predict which strains are the predominating strains, and we have a vaccine. What's really useful is some of the technology. We've made vaccines quicker than we've ever made them before. And so some of the mRNA technology gives us hope that we'll be able to rapidly accommodate to any changes in the virus.
So there you go. A shot for every variant. And how fast are these variants coming? About every 3 months? What's the headline on Drudge today? Let me pull it up real quick. Big headline on Drudge. Mew. What I will call the moo variant. In 49 states. Yep. That's going to call for a new vaccine.
But that's where we're going to be. And the key message is we need to get that second dose protection. So whilst I'm very pleased we are at 70% first dose, as you know, I've previously said I want to see the sky as the limit. I think Australia can be the most vaccinated country in the world because we believe in science and we believe in vaccines.
They believe in science. They've locked their entire population down for basically a year now. They're on lockdown 6 or 7, something like that. But here, you know what's always so mystifying to these? You can't see this woman. This is a Dr. Chant. I believe she is their health minister there. She looks so normal. You know, you saw her in the grocery store, you'd think she's a soccer mom. Boy, they come, these wolves in sheep's clothing. But this is what's ahead for you. And again, if you don't fight the mask mandates at your schools, you're going to be just watching the vaccine mandate. You will have handed over all health autonomy over your children. Then you'll see the schools just saying, well, you know, if a child comes to us over the age of 12 and they want the shot, but their parents don't want them to have the shot, we're going to give them the shot because we're trying to save their life. No parental consent. I don't even know at this point if that would really enrage the citizenry enough to stop it, but maybe not. But this is ultimately the plan for Australia.
But we're now watching countries like Israel see their cases surge despite high vaccination rates. How important are boosters to maintaining this?
You would think somebody in the media would say, we're currently seeing Israel with the highest case count per million people in the world as one of the highest vaccinated countries in the world. Don't you think you'd see a reporter ask one of these people, does that not kind of seem like the vaccine's not working? But they don't say that. This woman goes on to say, to start talking about more shots. It just seems to me, I'm no mathematician, but it just seems to me that if you've got one of the heaviest vaccinated countries in the world having as the biggest hotspot, you would think that's kind of a clue. This approach is not working.
High vaccination rates. How important are boosters to maintaining this no lockdown plan, and how soon we need to get them so that we can maintain these freedoms we're being promised?
We need to get used to being vaccinated with COVID vaccines for the future. I can't see that COVID is not going to be with us forever. Maybe in the future we can have even better vaccines and coverage across the world to achieve that. I mean, as a public health doctor, we always want to have diseases go get totally eliminated, but that's not on the horizon in the near future. So booster doses, repeat doses will be part of it. You know, there'll be different advice about different schedules, which doses you get. But at the moment, our priority has to be getting first and second doses into people, and there will be recommendations about booster doses in the future. And I can assure you that the Commonwealth Government has purchased a large quantities of vaccine into 2022, and this will be a regular cycle of vaccination and revaccination as we learn more about when immunity wanes.
As they learn, these are the things they would have learned during a study. I know a lot of people, smart people, well-reasoned people, went out and got these shots. I do not call people who got vaccinated stupid, or they trust. They believe this is just another vaccine. They don't really even know what mRNA are. They don't know that the vaccine insert has nothing written on it. which is not usual. They don't know that there have been no long-term stuff. They don't pay attention to that stuff. They're living their lives. They're wrapped up in other things. I think that's a shame for them. But I really wonder, inside the mind of a vaccinated, is there anybody out there listening who went out to get this vaccine, but you didn't sign up for this? You kind of hesitantly just went, well, you know, my wife was kind of bugging me. My boss was kind of bugging me. My friends were kind of bugging me. My parents were kind of bugging me. So I just went out and got the dang thing, and it seems to be okay for me. Did you sign up for this? Every few months, another shot. All of your freedoms based on that, because I'm going to play a clip when I come back in a second. Then again, this is Australia, so maybe everybody thinks that, oh, these kinds of things won't happen here. Did you think they'd close the churches down in the United States and forbid you from going to church? Did you think that they would force restaurant owners to shutter their restaurants or only allow 25%, not 27%, 25% occupancy in their restaurants? Did you think anything that has happened over the past year, if I'd come to you in 2019 and said, I'm going to make a prediction about 2020, they're going to force us to close the churches, they're going to lock you in your homes, they're going to declare you either essential or non-essential, they're going to just start sending out checks. How many of those things would you thought were possible in 2019 that have occurred in 2020 and are just being exacerbated now with this shot? If I told you last year before this vaccine came out, oh, there's going to be a vaccine passport, you're not going to be able to go to a concert, you're not going to be able to go to a grocery store, you're not going to be able to eat out, how many of you would have thought that that would have been possible? No, that's not going to happen. That's ridiculous. That's conspiracy talk. And now we're seeing exactly that. A friend of mine is playing a concert later this month. Love to go see him. He's got a great band. Haven't seen him in years and years. I'm not allowed. I'm not allowed as part of the control group. Even though I'm a hero out here risking my life in the control group, I'm not allowed in this concert here in Jackson. So I'll show you what another Australian has to say about those who are vaccinated and those who are not. I think it should kind of tell us all where we're going to be standing in about 6 months here in the U.S. Stay with me. You know, my friend of mine sent me the announcement of this concert later this month, and he wanted me to go with him. I said, I'm not welcome. He's a vaccinated friend, so he gets to go. I don't get to go. I understand that that's just the very beginning if we do not push back on these things. Like, maybe we could take some lessons from the French. You know, the French we used to make fun of. We wouldn't call them French fries. We called them freedom fries. Well, my, how the tables have turned. We got the KGB agent, Vladimir Putin, saying he's not going to force people to take vaccines. Well, we've got our own CEOs and business owners here forcing them. I mean, the world is absolutely on its head. The French are going to have to teach us about freedom. But I know this is just the very beginning of the discrimination against me. Again, as a hero of the control group, I believe I am playing a vital part in this scientific experiment, but it goes unappreciated by the powers that be. But here's what this is the premier, Dan Andrews of Victoria, down under.
From a situation where to protect the health system, we've got everybody locked down, we're going to move to a situation where to protect the health system, we're going to lock out people who are not vaccinated and can be. If you're making the choice not to get vaccinated, then you're making the wrong choice. You're making the wrong choice. And for safety's sake, and for the back to that point about how much work our nurses have to do, as this becomes absolutely a pandemic of the unvaccinated, and we...
This is the same place. This is Australia that had 141 people in the emergency room about a month ago. 140 of them were fully vaccinated. One of them had one shot. There was not a single unvaccinated person in the ICUs in Australia, according to their own health minister, about a month ago. Came out and reported that. He still says this is a pandemic of the unvaccinated.
Open everything up, it's not going to be safe for people who are not vaccinated to be roaming around the place spreading the virus. That's what they'll be doing. So
that's pretty amazing. That's a pretty big statement, isn't it? A bunch of unvaccinated people roaming around spreading the virus. Just by the I don't know if people know this. Maybe I should say this out loud. Just because you're unvaccinated doesn't mean you're sick. Do people know that anymore? I'm not sure if people know that anymore. This premier of Victoria doesn't know. If you're unvaccinated, you're out spreading the virus. People will believe that.
Every reason to get vaccinated. And there are appointments available, and there'll be even more appointments available throughout September, October, November. Let's get to those thresholds as fast as we possibly can.
I'm going to play just the very beginning, because this is going to be the new theme.
From a situation where, to protect the health system, we've got everybody locked down, we're going to move to a situation where, to protect the health system, we're going to lock out people who are not vaccinated and can be.
So there you go. We're going to go from locked down to locked out. This is happening in Western countries, and it will happen here if you don't make the decision now to start standing up. Even you vaccinated people should not want this. We'll see where you stand in the end. Right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show here on 103.9 WYAB. I'm going to change topics in a second. We're going to talk about this, the weapons left in Afghanistan. I've got the list here. I haven't commented. I did make sure that I've tasked myself with the responsibility to always thank the U.S. taxpayer on behalf of, you know, whether it's the airlines or the banks or the Taliban or the Pakistanis who we found out we pay for their entire national defense budget. I always try to pass along thanks to the U.S. taxpayer because I don't think you get the credit you deserve. That you should feel warm and fuzzy about doing all these things around the world. And so I've passed that along. But I think there's some other things to consider that are not being mentioned anywhere on conservative radio that I hear about these leave-behind weapons. And who really may be behind this? It may not be who you think. It's not going to be as much fun to talk about at a cocktail party or at your next tailgate. But there are certainly other things at play in these leave-behinds. So we're going to talk about that in just a second. But I wanted to say a couple other things about this COVID stuff. One thing that is really amazing to me is that the governments now here, we just recently had our government is talking about booster shots already. I mean, they can't get them out fast enough. Be it the Biden administration, Thomas Dobbs, the state health officers, the medical mafia, the AMA, it doesn't matter. They all want these boosters. And even the CDC and the FDA, some of their scientists are going, look, we can't recommend that. I mean, when it's a bridge too far for the main vaccine sales organization to say, we haven't studied these things. We don't know. It's not time yet. And you've got FDA scientists that are quitting because they're being pressured into this booster thing. You know they've got some concerns because they obviously swallowed a lot of their hesitation during the initial rollout of Operation Warp Speed and this rush to market experimental vaccine. Even they are pushing back. Listen to this. This is in England. England's doing the same thing. This is why I tell you, this is why I think it's important what's going on in Australia, what's going on in England, what's going on in Israel, because it's all coming here. This is in England. Plans to vaccinate millions of school children are expected to be given the go-ahead as soon as next week, despite government advisors yesterday refusing to back a mass rollout. After weeks of pressure for a decision, the Joint Committee on Vaccination and Immunization ruled that healthy 12 to 15-year-olds should not get COVID jabs, saying the benefit to their health did not outweigh the, anyone, risks. Here they tell you there are no risks. Only two words are allowed in the vaccine debate in the United States, and those two words are safe and effective. They pretend there are no risks. Go to openvares.com. You'll see that there are risks. The surviving family members of the right now about 14,000 people even reported who have died and the 18,000 who are permanently disabled, they would tell you there are risks. the family members that are now having to either bury or care for people who got the vaccine. There are risks. But this is the Joint Committee on Vaccination and Immunization. This is what they do for a living. And they are telling the British government there is no reason in the world to give this vaccine to 12 to 15-year-olds. That should also advise people in the United States. Do you know more about vaccines than the Joint Committee on Vaccination and Immunization? Even they say it's too risky to give these shots to kids. But these governments are rushing ahead with both boosters and childhood immunizations, even against their own health authorities. I mean, the health authorities are bad enough. The fact that even they are not radical enough for this agenda should be a real concern. And I wanted to point out something else, too, to the people out there who believe that, well, I think everybody should be vaccinated. You believe in vaccine mandates. You think everybody's an existential risk to everybody else. If you're not vaccinated, you're just a walking disease infecting us all. Let me tell you how this thing is going to affect you. You keep rolling out these mandates. We've got firefighters who are quitting. We've got nurses who are quitting. We've got police officers who are quitting. And we've got a whole lot of people in the transportation industry that are quitting. And so you want to know how this is affecting you? Those of you out there calling for the mask mandates, don't come whining to me. Those of you who played the COVID hysteria game for the last year, you wanted to lock everything down, you wanted to impose your rules, you wanted to do this, you wanted to do that. Don't come whining to me about empty store shelves. Containerized shipping has become the ugly story of the chaotic supply chain facing U.S. importers and Chinese exporters. Hopes are quickly fading that trans-Pacific supply chains will normalize this year or even in 2022. According to Wall Street Journal's Paul Berger, who spoke with industry experts, trans-Pacific supply chains will remain swamped through at least the summer of 2022. Port leaders such as Mario Cordero, executive director at the Port of Long Beach, California, warned, "I don't see substantial mitigation with regard to the congestion that major container ports are experiencing. Many people believe it's going to continue through the summer of 2022. You've got another year of supply chain disruptions. This kind of stuff has hit me personally pretty hard, I will tell you, and other things that I do. But I don't want to hear any whining. The COVID hysteria, it wasn't the pandemic that shut down ports. It was the governments that forced lockdowns. It was governments that enforced quarantines. It's the government that enforced people to stay at home for 14 days, disrupted all kinds of, I mean, they broke everything. They broke the entire economy. The world's shipping infrastructure is broken because of this stuff. So those of you think, well, I got my shot, and I'm happy to get all the boosters, and I'll do everything else. I think everybody else should. You're going to find that your adamancy that everybody else bending to what you believe is best for your life is going to cost you, too. It is going to cost you, too. When I come back, we're going to get into these Afghanistan leave-behinds, because what I focus on in this show is things that are not said on conservative media anywhere. There are things that conservatives should embrace. There are things that conservatives should know. There are things that should ideologically line up with conservatism. But because the Republican Party, in particular, is so good at propagandizing to the conservative and convincing you that a 3% tax cut is actually a move towards freedom, that they neglect to tell you about a lot of kind of inconvenient facts. And so we're going to look. The sheer numbers of the Afghan leave-behind weapons, I don't know if you've seen this or not. It's pretty stunning. I mean, enough to make me laugh at exactly what has just taken place. As I say, you are in an abusive relationship with your government. They steal from you every single week, and I'm going to show you what they do with that money. We'll be right back. I went home with a waitress the way I always do. I will just go ahead and admit to you, as a radio talk show host, I don't know what's wrong with me, because I know what is popular to say. And the more popular things you say, the better you do. Sean Hannity is just a nonstop reciting Republican so-called conservative talking points, and the guy's making, what are he making, $20 million a year, something like that? I know these things are possible, so I don't know what's wrong with me that I don't just get on board and just do what sells, baby. Give the customer what they want. I can't do it. I'm just wired different. I don't know. There's something about my brain. I know what popular talking points are. I know we like to blame Joe Biden for all of the inflation. We believe that Joe Biden somehow ushered in massive inflation after he'd been in office for, what, about 3 months? I don't even know if he had passed anything. I'm sure he's done some horrible things in his first 3 months. I mean, his first 6-7 months of his presidency are a train wreck. He's going to be the worst president we may have ever had in the history of the United States. I have no doubt about that. But the economic illiteracy that leads people to believe that Joe Biden is single-handedly responsible for all of the inflation after Trump printed up trillions of dollars, following on Obama's printing up trillions of dollars, following up on Bush's printing up of trillions of dollars, yet we believe we can just say, oh yeah, look at that. Joe Biden got no, that's what the inflation is about. But I know that's the popular talking point. I would do so much better to just come on air and blast Joe Biden for all this inflation. It's just, I know it's not true, so I can't do it. Then I'm going to bring a little bit of that to this segment now as we talk about the leave-behinds in Afghanistan and what may be some motivations that people don't really, don't appreciate, don't understand, don't think about. But I ran across this. I'm going to give you the numbers of what was left in Afghanistan, remembering always that we paid for this stuff. These are the giant military budgets that we've been cheering for decades now. This is what it was. This is the payoff. But it wasn't for you. I've been telling you since I got on air, those big military budgets aren't for you. They're for the defense contractors and apparently in this case, the Taliban. Listen to these numbers. I guess I should do this in the form of a question so that you get a number in your head and then I tell you the number. Now, don't do that thing where you give some crazy, huge, high guess so you ruin my bit here. But just think reasonably when I ask you how many of something was left behind for the Taliban. Just think kind of, you know it's going to be high or I wouldn't be doing the segment, but let me shock you with some of these numbers. Don't go thinking, 5 million, Mike. How many Humvees? I mean, this is difficult to even look at. How many Humvees did we leave behind for the Taliban? And I'm telling you, well, I'm going to explain this coming up. This was left behind. This was not a mistake. But let's get into the numbers. How many Humvees did the U.S. taxpayer just donate? 22,174. What would a line of 22,174 Humvees look like? I should have done the math. You know, I love my math and statistics and stuff. If you put 22,174 Humvees in a line, does that get you from Jackson to Hattiesburg? Or to New Orleans? Or to Cozumel? I don't really know. It's hard for me to even appreciate. 22,174 Humvees. 634 M117s. These are, basically four-wheeled tanks. Got a turret on the top, armored vehicle. 155 MXX Pros, mine-proof vehicles. 169 armored personnel carriers. Here's some of the good numbers here. You know, they talk about the used car market here and the car market. We can't get chips. We got a car shortage. Car prices are going through the roof. Well, if you want a good deal on a pickup truck or an SUV, head to Afghanistan. They're silly with them. How many trucks and SUVs that the American taxpayer paid for were left in Afghanistan? Anyone? Anyone? 42,000. Pickup trucks and SUVs left. Machine guns, 64,363. 42,000 pickups and SUVs. Cargo trucks, 8,000. I'm not even to the some of the best stuff, so hang in there with me. Now, this is good for operational capabilities with the Taliban. How many radios? You know, walkie-talkies, radios, stuff like that. How many radios? 162,043. Now, I guess, you know, that should keep them pretty well connected. 16,035 night vision goggles and devices. I mean, in a country that's all desert and mountains, that's going to come in handy. How many assault rifles? Anyone? Anyone? 358,530 pistols. 126,295 and 176 artillery pieces. Now, here's where it gets really fun, because there's one thing in here when we start getting to the aircraft. This is according to the U.S. Government Accounting Office, the GAO. That's what the numbers before. Actually, these numbers come from the SIGAR, the Special Inspector General for Afghan Reconstruction. How'd that work out? Helicopters, the Mi-17, we left 33. How many Blackhawks did we leave for them behind? 33. I'm kicking myself I didn't get the retail value of all of these things. I could have done something along the lines of a Price is Right type thing. The MD-530, this is a smaller helicopter. 43 of those. Now, here was a very interesting one. As we were rushing to try to get people out of Afghanistan at the last minute, again, I'm very suspicious on who was left in Afghanistan. I don't believe it was a bunch of school teachers and missionaries. I believe it was spooks and military contractors in there who actually thought Joe Biden might not have ever pulled the plug on this thing, so they just sat pat thinking, oh, we're never going to finish this war. My paychecks are still cashing. We left... somehow, for some reason, 4 C-130 transports. Weren't we trying to fly people out of there and we left 4 cargo planes behind? Got the we left 23 Embraer EMBs. This is like a smaller, I don't know if that's a fighter plane or what, it's a prop plane, but it looks kind of, it's sleek. 28 Cessnas, 208s, and then 10 Cessna AC-208s, which is looks like a bigger, called a strike aircraft. I didn't know Cessna made a strike aircraft. But just unbelievable, the number of things we left. In the tens of thousands, 22,000 Humvees left for the Afghanis. Now, I'm going to get into, in just a second, when I come back, why these things were left behind. Because what the conservative talkosphere, what the talking point is, the Republicans have jumped on this, right? It's just complete incompetence of the Biden administration. They're trying to make political hay out of this. The Biden administration is most definitely incompetent. You know, it's so sad. I live in a world where everything is so black and white to so many people, where if you point out a lie told about Biden, it means that you love Joe Biden somehow. It's a very strange thing, but this is the world I live in, so I navigate it the best I can by explaining to you. I'm no Joe Biden fan. But there are reasons that I believe the Republicans are actually very complicit in this. Now, they will make a lot of hay, and they'll make their speeches, and you're going to hear a lot about this heading into 2022. You're going to hear a lot about it for the upcoming weeks, because this is a pretty big story. I mean, 22,000 Humvees that the U.S. taxpayer paid for, just being left behind, being driven around right now. Listen, if you get real quiet, you can hear them. Woo-hoo! You can hear them riding around in them. Joy riding around Afghanistan in the Humvees the U.S. taxpayer paid for. While you struggle with that 7-year car loan you've got, the Afghanis just walked up. They, you know, they kind of came over a rise in the mountains there, looked down into the valley and went, oh, my God. Oh, Allah. 22,000 Humvees. But I'm going to tell you that do not let the Republicans off the hook for this stuff. As I tell you, both of these parties conspire against you. And they play you off one against another. give you some talking points, let you go to town, and so you don't ever actually figure out who the culprits behind stuff like this are. I'll explain it when I come back. Stay with me. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. We're talking about these weapons left behind. Weapons, cars, 42,000 pickup trucks and SUVs, 22,000 Humvees, left for the Afghanis. I want to remind everybody that this is not new. Feels new right now, feels really egregious, and the Republicans are jumping up and down, blaming Joe Biden. No, I mean, just fine to blame Joe Biden. Just don't think that this was just an accident, poor planning, incompetence, because I assure you that is not that is not what has taken place here. Now, this was a story back in 2017 on USA Today. The U.S. bought weapons for Syrian rebels, and some wound up in the hands of ISIS terrorists. Listen to this. Sophisticated weapons the U.S. military secretly provided to Syrian rebels quickly fell into the hands of the Islamic State, a study released Thursday disclosed. Let's see. The arms included anti-tank weapons purchased by the United States that ended up in possession of the Islamic State within 2 months of leaving the factory. I mean, I got to tell you, these things are still warm. Straight from the manufacturers into the hands of ISIS. That's an article from 2017. This is from military.com back in December of 14. Iraqi volunteers fighting against ISIS in the Yarib and Balad districts in Iraq's Salahuddin province have allegedly filmed U.S. airdrops of weapons in Islamic State-held areas. Iranian state media also claiming U.S. aircraft have once again dropped weapons in areas held by ISIS. In October, a purported errant airdrop... yeah! In October, a purported errant airdrop of weapons fell into the hands of the Islamic State fighters outside of Kobani in Syria. Oops! So this is really not new. We have been arming America's enemies for years, decades, because that's where the money is. And still, we allow the Pentagon and these people to come out and tell you that they're out there fighting ISIS, doing everything they can. So the question is really, why? Why were these weapons left? Because what I hear people saying is that Joe Biden's incompetence and Mark Milley, the woke warrior at the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Trump appointed him. I will point that out again. I know what's popular to say on this radio show. For some reason, I resist it. I just say the things that I believe to be true. And Mark Milley was appointed by Donald Trump. He is a disaster, as the Joint Chiefs of Staff has probably been ever since the Operation Northwoods, where they recommended to John Kennedy that we kill a few Americans and blame it on Cuba so we can start a war. Joint Chiefs of Staff, got to tell you, they seem a little callous with the American people. But we're going to talk in just a second about why. Why were these weapons left? Just sheer incompetence of the Biden administration or something else? We've got a caller online. Caller, are you with me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's 122.3 miles of Humvees.
122 miles of Humvees?
You got it.
Okay, so where does that get us? where does that get us from Jackson? That gets us far past Vicksburg. So we could go from downtown Jackson, we would be driving all the way, to Tallulah?
Probably to Hammond.
Yeah.
I think it's like 120 miles to Hammond, Louisiana.
Holy cow. Great math, though. I really appreciate that. I think, you know, I like things that you can picture. So there you go. You got a two-hour trip on the interstate passing nothing but bumper-to-bumper Humvees, and that's what we just handed over to the Taliban.
I know. It's amazing.
Man, I certainly appreciate the math.
Hey, no problem, man. You take care and keep telling it like it is.
I appreciate it. Thanks so much.
All right, man.
I love that. Absolutely love that. That's the visual we needed right there. 22,000 Humvees. And so I guess at 44,000 trucks, we're talking about 4 hours. 4 hours you could be riding down the interstate and be passing pickup trucks, bumper to bumper, that we just handed over to the Taliban. Got another caller on the line. Caller, are you with me? I think I might have missed you. Sorry, you can call back in just a second. So the question is why? And Republican talking point radio, I know every other station in this market, the WGOP stations are going to tell you, it's that rascally Joe Biden. Joe Biden did it to us. He's so incompetent. He's a, you know, he's all the things you blame him for, but I don't think he's responsible for this. Caller, you with me?
I am, Mike. How are you today?
Hey, good. How are you?
Good. One of the interesting things regarding these weapons that I've heard, you know, you've got to have talking points on both sides. And the Democrats trying to justify leaving these have said, well, they're really, these weren't our vehicles. These were the ones that we had already given to the Afghan army. And when they abandoned, they left them.
Oh, so we didn't want to be Indian givers. I gotcha.
Well, but see, so here's what you think. Now, there's all of these Humvees, which was probably enough for each member of the Afghan army to have their own.
Oh, they're probably parked at everybody's house. Yeah.
Yeah. They're saying that these guys in the Afghan army were so incompetent and so stupid that they left these sitting out there with the keys in them, and they walked away.
Yeah.
You would think that maybe they would have just loaded up the family in a Humvee and hit the damn road.
Oh, you can just.
But no, they left the Humvees, and they left all of the vehicles. They left the planes. They left the hell, there was more helicopters left. I guarantee you, Afghan did not have 60 or 100 helicopter pilots in their army.
Oh, I guarantee you, there's probably some Blackwater pilots right now that are making bank over in Afghanistan, hauling Afghanis and Taliban around by now.
I mean, if you got these helicopters, why would you leave them and walk away or run? Why wouldn't you just get in a chopper and fly off?
Yeah.
If you didn't want to fight the Taliban.
It's not like, when you talk about moving this stuff out, you know, you'll hear people say, well, logistically, we just didn't have time to get everything out. You know, all the stupid things they say. What's funny is that, I don't know. I mean, I know we've got 34 military bases surrounding Iran. So it's not like, I mean, we've got another military base within a chopper's ride of everywhere where they are. I mean, we've got bases just littering the Middle East. So they could have just, you know, one pilot hopped into one helicopter, bugged it out to another military base and gone on with their lives. But we didn't do that. We left it behind.
Yeah, we already had military personnel there. All right, all you guys, we're leaving. All of you grab a Humvee and let's hit the damn road.
Yeah. Call it a convoy.
Why would you leaving all of this stuff, and we've done it before, like you just pointed out. Hell, the official vehicle for years of ISIS was a Toyota Tacoma. I mean,
yeah,
every picture you saw of ISIS was them riding around in the desert in a Toyota.
Well, look, I think we need to point out the upside of that. My understanding is a lot of the 42,000 trucks and SUVs we left were American-made. They created American jobs because I think we, instead of just the Toyotas, which is really it's the preferred ISIS, Al-Qaeda, you know, that's their preferred vehicle. The Taliban now is driving American-made. I believe they were either GM or Chevy. So we have got some American-made vehicles over there and fighting alongside the Toyotas. So I guess that, you know, kudos for American manufacturing.
Well, and I'm sure a lot of those Toyotas are even American-made. I mean, we've got the Toyota plants. I wonder how many of them were made up near Tupelo.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just...
It's a shame Nissan didn't get in on some of that deal. We could still have the plant running and rocking and rolling in Canton right now.
Well, I'd say with all those SUVs and 22,000 Humvees, there's a lot of Afghani children getting some fun camping trips in these days, probably in places they weren't able to go before. So, anyway. All right, got to jump, but I appreciate the call. Thanks so much. Okay. So let's get to it. So the why. Now, most Republicans are going to tell you, and conservatives are all up in arms, as they should be, but they are for the wrong reasons. They're going to blame Joe Biden, the Democrats, or whoever is best for them politically. That will sell to the average Republican and conservative because that just gives you ready-made. It's so easy to point to this as just an absolute catastrophe. And so Republicans will easily sell this to their followers. But here's the truth. I believe these Republicans, these same Republicans who are out there bashing Joe Biden for this failed withdrawal and leaving behind $90 billion worth of weapons and these kinds of things, they wanted those things left there. So there are couple of things to probably consider, and it may be a combination of two. And I believe that this implicates a guy that a lot of Republicans want to see be our next president, who I am intentionally trying to sabotage, and I'm not talking about Trump. The first one is pretty obvious. The weapons manufacturers want to lose $90 billion worth of weapons because that means orders for another, anyone? $90 billion. Well, who am I kidding? If we lost $90 billion worth of weapons, then the defense contractors stand to gain $150 billion in new orders to replace those that we left behind. You know, to rebuild the military. You remember you were sold this rebuilding the military for years and years under Donald Trump, which I resisted at every turn. And now, you know, I kept asking the question, if Donald Trump had to rebuild the military, why hasn't anybody been court-martialed or fired or anything for the trillions of dollars we gave them before and they let the military go to nothing? This is why you have to rebuild the military. We keep giving our stuff away. But this is, so defense contractors definitely want these weapons left behind. But there's even what I believe is a more likely scenario and another person and people who are behind this leave behind of weapons. We'll get to that in a second. Got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me? Yep, you there? All right, well, you got to turn your radio down. Call back in, turn your radio down so you're listening to the phone, not the radio. There's a very real possibility that these weapons were left behind for the Taliban to fight the Chinese. Now, the Chinese are coming in there with a checkbook. And I believe, now, there's problems with the Chinese and Muslims. We know how the Chinese treat the Uyghurs in China. They're essentially in concentration camps. I believe they probably use them for some organ harvesting and all kinds of other fun stuff that they do with the Muslims there. There's no love lost between the Chinese and the Muslims. We'll see if the Chinese pocketbook is more important to the Taliban than their Muslim brothers and sisters. But I believe, and the thing about this is we can't come out and say it. This was not an accident. This was not bad planning. This was not anything of the sort. Now, there may have been mistakes made to pull out military before civilian, but again, I just don't believe there were a bunch of American civilians sitting around, and they tuned into the news one Saturday, and they went, wait, what? The troops left Afghanistan. Hey, I'm still here. Trump announced this withdrawal over a year ago. I believe this whole story of Americans left behind is suspicious. But the leave behind of the weapons was not a mistake. Got a caller in line. Caller, are you with me?
Hello?
Hey.
Hey, I just wanted to tell you that I was looking one time in the internet, and I found that Rothschild had to do with Toyota, and the other one is the Catholic Church has, you know, the Roman Catholicism has to do with the Vatican and all that, you know. Have to do with the GM. Still the fact now. But also what happened to the gold in Iraq is no telling, you know, and all the museum pieces and everything, you know, and they all love that, you know.
So. Yeah. So there's no telling. There's all kinds of forces at play. Hey, I appreciate that.
And
thanks so much.
Really I believe what you're saying about that. And it's really, my mother told me I was a little child. It's been over 70 years ago. He said they do wars to make money.
Absolutely. She was exactly right. Hey, thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
I hope and pray we don't send any more in there.
Me too. So these weapons were left back to intentionally arm the Taliban against China. Now, we've done this before, right? This is really the amazing thing about U.S. foreign policy that I don't understand why more, particularly conservatives, liberals used to understand this, and they railed against it. They've decided to stand down now, and they believe that the Chuck Schumers and the Nancy Pelosi's and the Hillary Clintons, who have been bought off by the weapons manufacturers and the war lobby, like a lot of the Republicans, so now Democrats are disengaged. But I would think conservatives would get to this. So we fund, arm, train the Afghan fighters back in the 70s and 80s, the Mujahideen, and then we flip around and fight them. So for, you know, during the 1990s, and of course, obviously into the 2001 invasion, we're fighting against the people we funded before. We're actually fighting them with the weapons that we gave them the first time around. then we send our troops in to fight the people that we funded in the first place. Again, Al-Qaeda is Arabic for the base, which is short for the database, which was the Mujahideen fighters that the U.S. trained and equipped through the CIA to fight the Russians. So, I mean, you just think about this flip-flop. We fund them to fight the Soviets. We give them all the weapons they need. Then we go in and fight against our own weapons, against these people. And now we've left, and we've left them some more weapons. Obviously, this means that within the next 20 years, we'll be back in there fighting against our own weapons again. And then we'll leave more weapons behind. Lather, rinse, repeat. Lather, rinse, repeat. But they cannot come out and say this publicly. And so what the Republicans are doing, which I think is wildly disingenuous, because there's a lot of Republican neocons, and most of the named ones that you know, your Kevin McCarthy's, your Marco Rubio's, your Lindsey Graham's, and particularly one person that I believe, and neocons, warmongers, are in both parties. When it comes to the war stuff, the defense lobby is bought off. I think they said something, it was a story that just recently come out, they defense industry spent something like, over the last 20 years, $1 billion in lobbying, and they ended up getting something like, $2.5 trillion worth of business. That's pretty good return on investment, I got to tell you. I keep saying I'm gonna get me one of those Congress critters someday. But I believe that this is probably the planning for leaving these weapons and arming the Taliban, whether it started with him, I can almost guarantee you he was in on the planning on this and now is out there criticizing it because it's popular with the Republicans, is your own favorite son of the Trump administration, Mike Pompeo. This leave behind of weapons has CIA written all over it. This is what they do. They do things in the shadows. They try to confuse the American people. They try to but they arm who they want to arm using taxpayer dollars with zero accountability. And Mike Pompeo, as your former CIA head before he became the head of the State Department, and I explained to you on Friday this little relationship, this power struggle within Washington, D.C. between the White House and the Pentagon and the State Department and the CIA. Two battling factions there. And Trump actually took Mike Pompeo, put him into the CIA, made sure he got nice and sheep-dipped there, got all up to speed with all the nefarious things the CIA is doing, and then Trump moves him into the head of the State Department. And I believe from that post, Donald Trump, alongside the Pentagon, were actually fighting with Mike Pompeo at the State Department and the CIA. Mike Pompeo essentially sabotaged Donald Trump's entire foreign policy, his good instincts on foreign policy. Donald Trump invited the vampire into the room with Mike Pompeo. And I don't know if we'll see stories about this or not, but I can almost guarantee you that this was part of, as Trump was putting together his withdrawal plans, Mike Pompeo's fat little blood-soaked fingers, were all in this thing. And I guarantee you, Mike Pompeo, as a CIA guy, wanted to leave these weapons here, and it was part of the drawdown. It might have been part of the genius for Donald Trump to say, I'm going to put this withdrawal date into the next term because I don't want to do it during my term, because if I leave $90 billion worth of weapons, I may not get reelected. Some Republicans might get mad at me. So I'll move it into the next term where either, number one, I don't have to run for reelection because I'm in my second term, or I'll leave it for that sucker Joe Biden. And Republicans are playing straight into those hands. And Mike Pompeo said, yeah, that's a good idea. Because they intended to do this all along. This is Mike Pompeo operation right here, I believe. Certainly some kind of a CIA thing. So you can go and do the Joe Biden's incompetent. Look what Joe Biden did. Look at all the money he wasted. God, what a terrible withdrawal. This was not a terrible withdrawal to the people who designed this kind of withdrawal. This was not an abuse of the taxpayer to the people who are abusing the taxpayer. They just think it's business as usual because we are just tax slaves to be harvested. Now, they did this for a reason. This was not a mistake. I'll be right back. right, I only got about a minute in the show. My point being on these leave behind weapons, the withdrawal from Afghanistan, I just know they're corralling you. They're convincing you to blame Joe Biden. I think Joe Biden is a throwaway, really, to the establishment. They're going to use him. They know he doesn't know what he's doing. He's going to be no resistance to any ideas, anything they want to do. And they're happy to have Joe Biden as the scapegoat. Do you notice that the media that's been carrying water for Joe Biden, hiding him during the campaign, everything, suddenly they came out against him. I mean, they were hardcore on him about this withdrawal. And even these leave-behinds and the weapons. I had a CNN clip I didn't play. You know why that is? Because the CIA runs our media. This is not even a secret. We certainly can name the people. I don't have time to get into it. But the CIA has been in our media since at least the 50s and 60s. And so they run the media. So the CIA just did one of their huge operations right in front of our eyes, and they got their willing accomplices and employees in the mainstream media to come out and tell you it was just a bumbling Joe Biden. It's just all a big accident. We can't believe it happened. So that you don't actually look behind the curtain and see exactly what's going on. I know it's fun to talk about how incompetent Joe Biden is. I do it here on the show a lot. He's pretty bad. No, he's awful. But we need to start knowing who is behind, who is really pulling the strings on all kinds of different operations. And CIA is behind a lot of it. That's all the time I got. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how